Okay, hello, all of you. This is our fourth class, I think. This is our fourth class. And the parts of the conversation that I want to review would be these. Number one, we spent a lot of time discussing the concept of Mashiach as a Melech. Melech HaMashiach. Now, of course, the reason this is so significant and so important is because it qualifies Mashiach in the criteria of halacha, not more and not less than a king. Like the Rambam says, he doesn't have to perform miracles, he doesn't have to be Mechaye Mason, because those are beyond the parameters of a king. On the other hand, he has to be a Frumah Yid and a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all the rest. Another thing that we spent some time discussing was the four steps or stages or aspects in determining Mashiach. The first is his own personal avodah. He has to simply be a religious Jew, a frumerit. Yamid melech beis David hege b'teire ve'esig b'mitzvahs. Kifi teire shevikzav en teire shebalpeh. Ki David David. In other words, it has to be a Yid who learns teire and keeps mitzvahs practically. The second is his influence on Yid. Yaakov kol Yisrael leilech bo lechazik bitko, which means he has to strengthen Yiddishkeit. The third is his influence on Goyim. That's b'derech melchama, that's through war. Yilcha melchama savayi v'inatzeach. And the last is his influence on Goyim, not through violence and through war, but as a rav, as a teacher, which we will get to later. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but we'll get to it, if not this week, then next week. The Rebbe has some very wonderful insights and original approach to the union of Mashiach as a rav, that are very, very special, which we're going to get to. Like I said, if it won't be this week, it'll be the Mitzvah Hashem next week. So this is all the material we've done so far. Okay? We also, the last thing we did last week was discuss the idea that Mashiach has to be a physical thing because it's connected to a mitzvah, it's connected to the city of refuge, it's connected to Arei Miklat. Okay? But the key, the philosophical points that are going to be constant throughout our learning are the idea that Mashiach is a melech, and that the beginning of Mashiach is his own personal life, and then his influence on Yidden, and then his influence on Goyim, and then his ability to become a rav, a teacher. So now we're doing section 6, which is in your handout on page 6. And what we are going to be learning now, if you look at the title, it says three aspects, Torah, Nevuah, Mitzvah. So let's jump right in and read Aleph. Let's read the first reading of section 6. It says, HaTeira Heid Olav, the Teira testifies about Mashiach, Shenemar, and he brings three psukim. The first pasuk says, V'shav Avaya L'kechas, Ruch Hashem is going to bring back your captives, that means the Jewish people who have been lost. Then later on it says, Af Beparshas Bilam Ne'emar, in the section of the Teira of Bilam, it says, V'sham Nibon, there is a prophecy. And then it says, then it says, also in the cities of refuge, it says, and it brings an eye from Arei Miklat. This, of course, refers to a theme and an idea which we've touched on a number of times in the class. And that is, that there's three psukim from the Chumash that the Rambam brings. Right? Like the Rambam says, to bring proofs from Navi and Ksuvim from Mashiach is redundant because there's so many proofs, but the Rambam feels an obligation to bring us proofs from the Chumash, and he brings us three proofs. So we've already touched on these three proofs. We've explored how one proof is Geula, a second proof is Mashiach, and the third proof is Mitzvah. Here's another Sikha. And this Sikha adds another theological dimension to these three proofs. Torah, Nevuah, Mitzvah. Okay, Torah, Nevuah, Mitzvah. So look at reading Beis. Let's read reading Beis. V'sholosh arayos shehevi Rambam. The Rambam brings three proofs from Chumash, from Mashiach. Melamdeinu, he teaches us, she'inyan melech ha-Mashiach, that the idea of the king, Mashiach, Ne'emar v'nichtav, is written, spoken, and written b'chol chelki ha-teire shebiksav, in all portions of the written Torah. And to be precise, to be sure, it really means in all parts of the Chumash, of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Number one, this is a sikh in chelek lamedalet. Hein b'sipurei v'avtochas ha-teire, the stories and promises of the Torah. In other words, the narrative of the Torah. Kimafudish bepashas nitzavim, as it's written in Pashas Nitzavim. Number two, hein benavu is shebetera, the prophecies in the Torah. Kimafudish bepashas Bilam, which is written explicitly in the section of Bilam, which we call Pashas Balak, but the Rambam calls Pashas Bilam. That it says, Shasham Nibadir, there is a prophecy. Vehain, number three, Vehain b'mitzvah shebetera, the mitzvah of the Torah, kimafudish b'mitzvah sani miklot, as is specified in the mitzvah sani miklot. So the Rebbe has a new sikha, where the Rebbe approaches the same halacha, where the Rambam brings three proofs from psukim, but the Rebbe explains it a little bit differently. These three psukim represent three ideas: nevuah, Torah, and mitzvah. So let me do this a little bit inside out, with a little bit of a disorder. The first thing I want to say is this. There's a Maimon Chazal someplace that says, Moshe Kosav Sifrei Uparshas Bilam, or Sefer Bilam. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Chumash and the story of Bilam. Now, the story of Bilam is Parshas Balak. Parshas Balak tells the story of what happened between Balak and Balaam. People are not paying attention, but think about it. How do we know that story? How do we know that Balak heard that the Jewish people were nearby and that he was afraid that he called for Bilam and Bilam didn't want to come, and then Bilam finally came, he had a conversation with his donkey, and he went to this place and to that place and to the other place, and he brought Karbonus once, and he brought Karbonus a second time, he brought Karbonus a third time, and then finally there was a fourth Nevuah. How do we know the whole story of Bilam and Balak happened? The Jewish people are sitting in one place, Bilam and Balak are sitting in another place, and Bilam and Balak have a negotiations and then a conversation where no Yidden are involved. The Jewish people are not involved in the story at all. At the very end of the Pasha, the B'nais Moav and B'nais Midian come into the Jewish camp, and we know what happens with the story of Baal Pa'ed. But the bulk, the body of Parshas Balak happens someplace else. The Jewish people are nowhere to be found. The Jewish people are not even a part of the story. The entire story of Parshas Balak is a conversation between Balak and Bilam and a bunch of Goyim, which takes place in Moav and nothing with the Jewish people. It's a simple question. How do we know the story of Parshas Balak and Bilam? And of course the answer is, what do you mean, how do we know? How do we know the whole Torah? The answer is, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, and Hashem spoke to him, and Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it down. But it's understood, it's explained, it is a difference. When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, this is not called Nevuah, this is called Torah. Okay, for those who are not familiar, this the Sichas of the Rebbe on all of this, Chelek Chav Gimel, there's a Sichah, about Loischa probably, that there's three levels. There's Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim are not only different parts of Tanakh, they're different levels of communication. And I'll go backwards, because it's the easiest way to do this. Ksuvim is called Ruach HaKodesh. Nevi'im is called Nevuah. There's a difference between Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah. Ruach HaKodesh, a person experiences an Eimed Al Omdei. He doesn't go into convulsions, he doesn't lose control of his body, and so on. Nevuah is a higher level of revelation, where a person experiences such a great, powerful experience of HaKodesh Baruch Hu that he falls to the ground, he takes off his clothes, he loses his control over his body, and so on, and then he has a Nevuah. But according to the Rambam, Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah really are a continuum. In other words, Ruach HaKodesh is not a separate thing. Ruach HaKodesh is simply a lower level of what Nevuah is. So there's Ruach HaKodesh, Ksuvim, is written with Ruach HaKodesh. And of course, included in Ksuvim would be Tilim, Mishlei, Iyev, Keyelet, Shir Hashirim. These are all Ksuvim. They're incredibly important works written by David and Shlomo and others. But they were written with the minds of a person inspired by divine inspiration. And the Nevi'im, which include Yeshaya and Yirmiyah and Yechezkel, and the Treyasar, are a higher level. There were prophecies which overwhelmed the Navi who experienced them. Torah is above both of those, and Torah, ironically, is Kasheyedaber Yisharei, what Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, like a person speaks to his fellow, but what Hashem reveals to Moshe Rabbeinu in Torah is not a vision or an inspiration, it's a direct communication from the Eibishter to Moshe. In other words, if I may use these words, exactly what the Eibishter is thinking, he told Moshe. While Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh is an inspiration that needs to be interpreted and so on. And of course it's brought in Rambam and then it's brought in Sfarim, that if Moshe Rabbeinu comes back today or tomorrow, there will not be more Torah. The level of revelation, the kind of communication the Eibishter had with Moshe Rabbeinu and the 40 years in the Midbar, which is Torah, will never be duplicated, not even by Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, Torah is not Chesed HaMasig, it's Chesed HaMusag. The revelation of Torah happened once over the 40 years that the Jewish people were in the Midbar. It will never be duplicated. After Mashiach comes, there's going to be Nevuah, there's going to be great Nevuah, perhaps very great Nevuah, but what happened when Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah will never be duplicated, even by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And in the words of the Rambam, Ein Novi, Rasha Elechadesh Dover Meyata, once the Torah was sealed, there's no room for it to be modified or added to, because it's a unique kind of revelation. However, we explained the details of it, but Hashem spoke to Moshe like a person speaks to his fellow, and revealed to Moshe exactly what he was thinking. So there's three different levels. Ruach HaKodesh is an inspiration which you can handle, Nevuah is an inspiration which is overwhelming, and Torah is not an inspiration, it's a direct communication. Here we're learning a Rambam that's analyzing Psukim in the Chumash. And it says there's a piece of the Chumash which is Nevuah. It's very interesting. There's a piece of the Chumash which is Nevuah. The story of Balak and Bilam, which is written in the Sefer Torah, Moshe knew as a Nevuah, as a prophecy. In other words, he had a vision. He saw Balak being afraid, and Balak sending Shluchim, and then sending Shluchim again, and Bilam coming and having conversation with his donkey, and then meeting Balak and having a little bit of an argument, and then going to one place and trying to and blessing the Jewish people, and going to another place, and so on. Moshe Rabbeinu knew all of this be Nevuah. Now the fact is, this Nevuah is written in the Torah, which makes it Torah. So from a mystical, from a spiritual perspective, there's a difference between a Nevuah and a Torah. Because Nevuah is a lower level. Nevuah is an inspiration that overwhelms a person and brings to them information which would otherwise be unavailable through a vision. A Chizayin or a Chalayim, as in a matter of Chalayim, there's the two approaches. And Torah is Kashi Dabat Isharayayu. It's direct. Somehow, Parashas Bilam is different than the rest of the Chumash. The whole Torah is Torah. Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. Parashas Bilam was a Nevuah. Moshe saw. But after Moshe saw, it became a part of the Torah. How this is explained is not to the moment. In other words, I don't remember offhand how the Rebbe resolved this question. But this is certainly the truth, that Parashas Bilam, even though it's written in the Torah, and it's a part of what we consider direct communication, Torah, which is higher than Nevuah, and higher than Ruach HaKodesh, it also has the property of a direct communication between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu, as Moshe Rabbeinu was a prophet, as a Navi. And as a result of this, the Rebbe says, when the Rambam brings three proofs, he's actually bringing three levels. The first level is Nevuah, the second level is Torah, and the third level is how Torah is connected to mitzvahs. Three levels. The lowest level would be Nevuah, the second level would be Torah, and the third level would be Torah is connected to mitzvahs. So I'm going to continue to talk. In other words, even though what I'm going to share with you now is written in this Sikh and Chelek Lamed Aleph, which we're going to be doing in all of these, the next few readings, Gimel, Dalet, and Hey, I'm going to set it up. I'm going to first explain the differences between the three to you, and then we'll do it inside. Okay? So here's how it goes. Torah. Apayim Shana Kodma Torah La'ilam, period. And this is not just the Chassidus, this is the Chazal, everybody agrees with this. Torah comes before the world. Before the world ever existed, Torah was written. And the Rambam agrees with this also. Because the Torah was written before the world has no bearing on the Torah. Perhaps how the Torah is arranged, how the Torah is revealed, how the words are divided, is a very interesting in Ramban and the Hagdamah, where the Rambam explains how he understands the interface between Alpaim Shon Mokadim Teda Le'elam, and the Teda comes into the world, you can check it out. But Teda is before the world. Since Teda is before the world, Teda is the same before there was a world, when there is a world, and after there will no longer be a world. Chad Charuv, the Teda never changes. Teda is the wisdom of Hashem, period. Period. Teda is the wisdom of Hashem, it's unchanging. It precedes the world, it survives the world, and it transcends the world. So when Hashem gives us His Teda, and He gives us His Torah on a level we're able to learn it and understand it, Hashem is giving us access to timeless wisdom, to ideas that can never change because they're not related to a changing world. The world is dynamic, the world is time and space. Time means evolution. Time means change. Teda precedes it and follows it. Teda never changes. So when Hashem gives us an idea in Teda, He's giving us an idea that is not at all subject to change, because it's before, during, and after change. It's before, during, and after the world. So Teda can never change. That's Teda. There's a unique category in Teda called mitzvahs. What is the unique category in Teda called mitzvahs? How from the wisdom of the Teda, we are commanded to do physical things on the physical earth. So mitzvahs are interesting, because on the one hand they're Teda. In other words, on the one hand they're part of a truth which is above change. It comes before the world, it will be after the world, and it exists during the world, and it's not at all subject to the changes of the world. The world may change, but Teda never changes, because it precedes it and follows it. So the world may change, and the mitzvahs are Teda, will never change, because they precede it and follow it. But mitzvahs are physical. Mitzvahs you have to do. This is one of the base principles of faith in general, and as it relates to Mashiach in particular, mitzvahs have to be done physically. So mitzvahs are like Torah. Just like Torah is before the world, it's not affected or have any relationship with the changes that take place in the world because it precedes it all. Mitzvahs are the same way. If you're the mitzvahs, you have to do physically. So, as a practical matter, there are many mitzvahs we cannot always do. No Beis HaMikdash, no Karbanos. That doesn't mean the mitzvahs are not eternal, it means the world's opportunity, the world providing us the possibility to do the mitzvahs is dynamic, but as far as the world is concerned, as far as the mitzvahs are concerned, they never change. So those are two levels right there, yeah? The first level is Torah. Torah comes before the world, and since Torah comes before the world has no effect on the Torah. Torah remains constant. And then you have mitzvahs ha-Torah, where from the Torah there's commands that we have to keep in the physical world. Those mitzvahs can never either change, because they come from Torah, which is before the world. However, the possibility to fulfill the mitzvahs can change, because the world does not allow us to do them. But as soon as the opportunity would arise, the mitzvahs would come back. Like the example of Karbanos, after Mashiach comes, we're going to have mitzvahs. Then you have Nevuah. Nevuah is not before the world at all. Nevuah happens within the framework of the world. Hashem creates a world in real time and in real space, and we journey through space and we journey through time, and there's all kinds of people, and periodically there's a person who's a prophet, a Navi. The most important thing that you need to know about a Navi is that Nevuah is not about a message, it's about the messenger. We talked about this last week, I think. Nevuah is about a person deserving that the Shekhinah should rest upon him. Nevuah is not about Hashem needing to send a message, so he chooses a messenger. If Hashem has to send a message and he can't find a messenger, he doesn't send it. He sends it through Shaitim, through Ketanim. Nevuah is a human being who raises himself up to such a madrege that the Roi Shetishrei Allah Shekhinah, he reaches a status where he's deserving and worthy and achieved a level where he deserves that the Shekhinah should rest upon him. That's Nevuah. When a person reaches that madrega, so that person has an inspiration. The inspiration that person has is a combination of that person's level and Hashem's light. So Nevuah has everything to do with people, and everything to do with people's avodah, and people's level, and people's station. Which is why you can say in the same breath, Nevuah never stops, and there are no Nevi'im. How could you say Nevuah never stops, and there are no Nevi'im? Arno Nevi'im means no one has earned it. Nevuah never stops. The possibility that Hashem will rest upon a person the moment such a person is found never changes. And that's what the Rebbe explains about Nevuah in the Zman HaGolos, after the Zman of Chagai Zechariah Malachi. So, Nevuah is very different than Torah, because it's connected to the world. It's connected to people. And therefore the Gemara says that many, many prophecies were temporary. Most prophecies were temporary, and only a collection of the prophecies, or some of the prophecies, of 55 people. Out of Kiflayim, Kiyetzim, and Sinai, the Gemara says, there were twice as many prophets as there were Jews who left Egypt. That means 1.2 million Nevi'im over the course of 1,000 years. And of them, we only have the words of 48 men and 7 women, because Nevuah she'nicht nitzrich oladeidus nishtamer. Only those prophecies which speak through time to later generations were written down, because Nevuah is really about people. So the Rebbe now in this Sikha goes ahead and says that when the Rambam brings 3 psukim in Chumash to reference Mashiach. The reason he brings three proofs in Chumash to reference Mashiach is because he's referencing Mashiach on three levels. And now I'm going to say it backwards, from the bottom to the top. Number one, Mashiach is a nevuah. I mean, it speaks to people on the level of people. Number two, Mashiach is Torah. Before the world ever existed, the idea of Mashiach exists. And therefore, no matter what's going to happen in the world, Mashiach must be, because Torah, which is higher than the world, says so. And number three, not only is Mashiach a part of Torah, Mashiach is a part of Mitzvah HaTorah. That means it is a physical action written into the Torah, which must happen, and it must happen physically, which is associated with the idea of Mashiach. So the Rebbe says, when you study these three psukim, and when you understand that the Rambam is teaching us Mashiach on three levels, Nevuah, Torah, and Mitzvah HaTorah, he's teaching us three different levels. Okay? So let's do it backwards. Okay, I prepared these notes and I sort of decided to do it differently. So we're going to do Dalet first, which is Nevuah, and then we're going to go back and do Gimel, which is Torah. Nevuah is the lowest level. So the Rebbe says like this, Nevuah. After Divrei Torah, Chamurim and Divrei Nevuah. The halacha is, the fact is, Torah is higher than prophecy. Why? What do you mean, why? Torah is higher than the world and before the world, and it's above the changes of time. It's a nitzchi because the Eibush is a nitzchi. Nevuah is only true because the Eibush communicate to an individual person in a particular time and place under particular circumstances and through a particular avodah, so it's limited to the world of the time and space. It says the Rebbe Mekomoko Metzinu Gamcheme Bedivri Nevuah Lagabe Divri Teir. There is one aspect where being a prophet is greater than being, that prophecy is higher than Teir. Where is that? The punishment for transgressing a mitzvah of Torah. Toloi b'sug ha'aveda, depends on the kind of aveda one commits, one transgresses. Mash'enkein ha'aved al divrei navi, a person who doesn't listen to a prophet, says the Rebbe, ein nafke mina be'ez inyan aved, it really doesn't matter what the prophet told him. Even if the prophet told you, take out the garbage, or wash your hands. The halacha is, chayiv mise b'dei shemayim, the person deserves death, and the death comes to him from heaven. Torah is higher than Nevuah. Mitzvah Torah higher than Mitzvah and Nevuah. Yet, Mitzvah and Torah, there's all kinds of criteria, all kinds of limitations, all kinds of rules about how a person is punished. If a Navi comes to you and tells you to do something, and you don't listen to him, it doesn't matter what he says, you're Chayiv Mis. Okay, that's just the way it is. You're Chayiv Mis. Now, let me explain this to you a little bit. Uvagdom. A goy has sheva mitzvahs b'nei neach. If a goy is over one of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei neach, he's chayiv misa. A goy who violates one of the seven commandments of neach deserves death. Whether he's actually executed by a bez din or not is a different question, but he's considered obligated, he lost his life. It doesn't make a difference if he's murdered somebody, worshipped idols, or stole 10 cents. Every one of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei neach has a death penalty attached to it. A yid will be over on several of the Sheva Mitzvahs Menach and not get death. A person who steals is not Chayiv Misa for stealing. A person who kills an animal or does Eva Menachai is not Chayiv Misa. Not for all of, if a person doesn't make a court, doesn't follow a Bezdin, he's not Chayiv Misa. So, a guy who is over any one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Menach dies, whether he's killed in Bezdin or he's dying spiritually and so on. A yid who may be over some of those mitzvahs is not chayiv mis. And of course, what's the logic? And of course, the person to whom this is most important would be a geir, because he's going from kedusha chamura to kedusha kala. As a goy, he gets the death sentence for theft. As a yid, he doesn't. And it's almost counterintuitive that you're going from a higher level of preciseness, that you're chayiv mis, to a lower level of preciseness where you only have to pay geir. So here is the explanation. The explanation is this, and I'm giving you now a philosophical explanation and not a practical explanation, and the Rebbe said this many times. The pshat in this is as follows. Hashem gives us life. We live because of our connection to Him. What if a person says to Hashem, don't give me life. I want nothing to do with you. When a person says to his source of life, I don't want to live from you, Hashem acquiesces. You don't want to live from me? Fine, you won't live from me. And the Eibishter separates from such a person. What happens when Hashem separates from such a person? Nothing. The person goes on living, the person doesn't die. But to use an expression from Chazal, he's called a Gavr Ketila. He's already dead. Practically, he's wandering the earth, and he may live, like it says in Igeres HaTshuva, Marichim Yimeim, Shesayim Ateva Benimim. But spiritually, he's dead. He cut himself off from his source. He cut himself off from the Eibush, the source of life. And from a spiritual perspective, he's dead already. A guy has seven mitzvahs. This is his chayas. A guy who violates any one of the seven mitzvahs has cut himself off from his chayas. So even if you don't kill him, he's philosophically, he's spiritually already dead. Gavr ketila kotel. He's a dead man. What about a yid? A yid has tayag mitzvahs. Arguably, a yid who's over in any one of the tayag mitzvahs should be the same din. You did naveira. The Eibishter is telling you, yehem chayein ve'erech yameinu, you didn't live from Yiddishkeit. You went ahead and severed for a moment, even for a rega, and involved yourself in something which is against the Eibishter's ratzon. When a person does an aveda, there should be gavir ketila kotel. And the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya the expression gzeres hakosef. There's no explanation. Logically, a person does an aveda just like a goy is aver any one of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei neach. He separated himself from the Eibishter. He separated himself from his own life. Nevertheless, the halach is that for most avedas, there's no death sentence. Now, Alter Rebbe in Igeres HaTshuva explains a different idea that has to do with the fact that we're drawing life from klipa. This is a separate thing. Ve'ein kan hamakim. Now is not the time for it. So really what I'm saying is that the way it is by Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Neach is the correct way. The way it is by Yas is the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That even though he cuts himself off from his Makar HaChayis, source of life. And when you cut yourself from Makar HaChayis, then you cut off the Makar HaChayis. The Eibishter made it that we have lesser ancient. For a certain Aveda, there's Malkis, there's a Karban Chatas, there's a Karban Asham, there's a Karban Eila, and all kinds of punishments, including no Einish at all beyond Tshuva. So the fact that a Yid can do an Aveda, which is cutting himself off from the Eibishter, even if it's for a moment, theoretically should be a Yid for Misa. Practically, the Eibishter was kind to us and said, no, even though you did Naveda, the Oynesh is only a Karban. The Oynesh, the punishment is only Tshuva. The punishment is only Malkis, flogging and so on. Okay? So the Rebbe says this. If I'm over a Naveda which is written in the Torah, if I don't do one of the mitzvahs which brings me Karas, like Bris Mila or Karban Pesach, so even though it's Torah, and Torah is Kadma L'Yelom, and when I do against the will of Hashem, I'm cutting myself off from the Eibishter. The Eibishter made the rule that most Avedis, most non-mitzvahs I did not perform, are not going to take my life. It just requires a certain Eibish. But if Hashem sends a Navi to me, a prophet, and the prophet comes to me and says, Kei Omar Avai, the Eibishter said, I should tell you to do this. Even if this is clean the table, even if do this is put a penny in a pushka, it doesn't matter what, and I don't listen to the Navi, I'm Chayiv Misa. In other words, even though the Eibishter is kind to the Jewish people, and he affects that for most Avedis, and most mitzvahs not done, the punishment is not death, it's a much lesser punishment, or there's no punishment at all, when it comes to the words of a prophet, a Navi, it doesn't matter what the Navi told you, if you didn't listen to the Navi, you're chayiv misa. And the question, of course, becomes why? Torah is higher than Nevuah. Torah is Kadma La'elam, Nevuah is Hakel Menabi as B'nei Ha'adam. So why, when I'm Eivan Divrei Torah, it's possible that I can save myself? And if I'm Eivan Divrei Nevuah, I lose my life. So the Rebbe says, the Rambam brings a proof from Mashiach, from Parshas Bilam, because of the Ma'ala of Nevuah, to teach us that believing in Mashiach has the fortitude, has the certain specific Ma'ala, which is unique to Nevuah, which is even higher than the Torah. And let's do reading Daud, and I wrote in the bracket there, Nevu, and I'm reading it inside, from the beginning again, that Av Shadivrei Teira Chamurim Adivrei Nevuah. We know that Teira is more strict than Nevuah. Mekomukim, nevertheless, Matsinu Gam Cheme, in one aspect, is a greater strictness, B'divrei Nevuah, in the words of the prophets, Legabe Divrei Teira, when compared to the words of Teira. How so? Sha'oinesh al Divrei Teira Tolu B'suga Aveda. The punishment for not listening to the Teira depends on the nature of the punishment. Of the sin, pardon me, to the extent that for many Avedas there's no Einish at all. Mash ain't an Eibel Divrei Navi, if you don't listen to a Navi, Einaf Gemina Be'eze Inyan Avad, it doesn't really matter what's the nature of your transgression, Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim, a person loses his life, not by being punished in a court of law, but b'day shamayim, which is the concept of God at Tila Kotel. It's as if he's taken, when you don't listen to the Eibishter, you've cut yourself off from the Eibishter. When one cuts himself off from the Eibishter, he can't live anymore. And the Rebbe says in the next paragraph, which is the second paragraph on the bottom of page 6, Hatam, why is this? That when you don't listen to another, you chayev misa, b'day shamayim, no matter what. And when you don't listen to the words of the Torah, it's not that way. So the Rebbe now explains. Tekev divrei Torah, God will harbe yesem, and tekev should divrei nevuah. Albeit, it may be true that the strength of the words of the Torah is greater than the strength of the words of the Nevi'im. Mekomakam still, nevertheless, legabe b'nei yadu, when it comes to the person receiving the message, yesh chumra b'divrei nevuah, nevuah is more chomer than Torah. How so? Sha'a nevuah hu, what is prophecy? Ma'ashakel menabe yad b'nei ha'adam, that Hashem comes to the person based on where the person is holding. And lachain, therefore, b'negei lepu'ula lebnei adam, when it comes to how it affects people, yesh b'divrei nevi'im tekev v'chemed, the words of the prophets have a power and a strictness, legabe divrei Torah, more than the words of the Torah. What is the Rebbe saying here? The Rebbe saying is the following. Torah comes from Hashem, nevuah comes from Hashem. Torah comes to people, nevuah comes to people. But this is the fundamental difference. Torah comes from Hashem to people, the emphasis is on the word Hashem. Nevuah comes from Hashem to people with the emphasis on the word person. Torah would exist whether we exist or don't exist. Nevuah does not exist until there is a person. Moreover, Nevuah does not exist until there is a worthy person. So the Rebbe says, Torah is higher than Nevuah from Hashem's perspective. Nevuah is more important than Torah from the human achievement perspective. You earn Nevuah, you don't earn Torah. Torah is Merasha. Nevuah you earn. Therefore, says the Rebbe, there is one aspect where Nevuah is more strict than Divrei Torah. What is that? That if you don't listen to another, you're chayev mis, doesn't matter what. Why? Because your identity is defined by your Nevuah. And if you violate it, you violated yourself. So, getting to the point. The Rambam brings three psukim from Chumash to support the idea of Mashiach. The first one is Nevuah, to teach us that when a person believes in Mashiach, he should know that believing in Mashiach is a prophecy, meaning it's part of what the Eibishter gave to people based on where people are holding, not where the Eibishter Kvayachal is. And therefore, if you don't listen to this, and you don't believe this, and you don't wait for this, so the first advantage of Mashiach, as it's prescribed in the Rambam, who brings these three proofs, is the idea that a person could be, that Mashiach is a Nevuah. And because Mashiach is a Nevuah, if we don't believe in Mashiach, we've separated ourselves from our life like a person doesn't listen to another. That's number one. Now two, Torah never changes. Torah is higher than the world. So in addition to Mashiach being a prophecy, and by the virtue of Mashiach being a prophecy, Mashiach becomes very personal. It's about the person. Mashiach is also Torah. And because it's Torah, it's transcendent. It's about Hashem being higher than time and space and change. And therefore, just like the Eibishter doesn't change, Torah cannot change, and Mashiach cannot change. So go back and read Gimel now. Torah, and I put that in bracket. B'negeya, I'm reading now Gimel on page 6, and section 6. B'negeya la'tochas la'kadosh baruch wa'idenam. We know that the Eibishter made many promises to Nevi'im, and some of those promises in Nevi'im are written in our Tanakh, Nevi'im and Ksuvim, but we also know that Nevuah is not about Hashem, it's about people. Says the Rebbe, you should know that prophecy, yeshna mayfane misuyamim. There are certain possibilities, sheshayach shachal b'mshin. Hashem says something to a Navi and he could change his mind. Number one, kamei divrei purani. So Hashem says he's going to bring a punishment to the Jewish people. Says the Rambam, she'efshe she'evat, Hashem could change his mind. Erech ha'payim v'rav chesed, efshe she'asu tshuva. There's a possibility that Hashem should say a Navi, I'm going to do this to people and then change his mind because they did true. Like the story of Yoina, for example, was a prophecy. In 40 days I'm going to destroy Nineveh. And then he changed his mind because they did tshuva. Because Nevuah could change if it's Lara. If Hashem says to a prophet something negative, it could change. Number two, V'chein gam b'chtoch l'tev. It's even possible that Hashem should say a prophecy about something good, and he should change his mind. How? Im hoy serak ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu ben HaNavi. Hashem says something to the prophet and does not tell him to repeat it to others. Liba lepuma legali. What Hashem says to a prophet, not to repeat to others, even if it's good, it's possible it should not happen. People will sin. And that's why, of course, the Navi has to immediately repeat what the Eibishter tells him. Once he brings it into this world, it's not subject to change. So here's the other side of the coin. On the one hand, Nevuah is the greatest thing because Hashem talking to us. On the other hand, because Nevuah is Hashem talking to us, if we change, the Nevuah could change in theory. As opposed to the eternity of Torah. Torah came before the world. It's not subject to the possibility of change. Everybody knows Hashem cannot change. Torah is as subject to change as the Eibishter himself, because Torah is the Eibishter's wisdom, not connected to any world or any reality or any circumstance. The Torah is also in that category. It cannot change. So the Rambam brings a pasuk where Mashiach is a nevuah to tell us that it's personal and it's to us and chayev visa. The Rambam brings us a different pasuk to tell us that Mashiach is Torah. That means Mashiach existed before there was a world, and therefore there's no way we could lose Mashiach. And then on the bottom of page 6, it brings the third category, which is mitzvah. And then I'll read it right away. Okay, it says like this: Nitzchi es haTorah hu b'chol chalki haTorah. The fact that the Torah is eternal is true in all sections of the Torah. Mikomokin, nevertheless, yesh chiluk ikri, there's a basic difference, there's a fundamental difference, bein hanitzchius shebe mitzvah satera, the idea that the commandments to do physical things in this earth is eternal, is different. Lahanitzchius shebe sh'ar chelki ha-teira shebe ksav, and the eternity of other parts of Torah, including Chumash. How? B'shar chalki ha-teira and other parts of the Torah. When Hashem says something in the Chumash, it's going to happen in the future, but it's not a prophecy, it's part of Torah. Efshesh inyan ha-nitzchiyat shabahem yizkayim. Certainly what the Eibishter says is going to happen. But it's conceivable that it happened. Le'ikib shuti al-arak b'teichna meruch. It'll happen spiritually. The prophecy predicts, the Torah predicts a certain event, and it'll happen on a spiritual level, not on a practical level. Mash'enkin zesh ha-teira hi mitzvah. But those parts of the Torah that are mitzvah, describing commandments. And we know about mitzvah that it's a medes la'ar olam yalom, these are the words that I'm there forever. That the Eibishter gave us commandments, and those commandments required us to do rituals on a physical, practical, and actual level. If kayamim li'elam ul'elmi alamim stand forever and ever and ever, b'li shum giroi netisefer, without any diminution or any addition, in an eternal way. Shekivan shartochas ha-giyula. Whereas Hashem is promising the giyula, it's prat mi mitzvah sadim mikot, it's part of a mitzvah, in this case the mitzvah of the miklat, cholalei aged nitzchi is mitzvah sateira, has the eternity not only of nevuah, but not only of teira, but mitzvah sateira. Asher, number one, muchach l'skayim, has to happen pashas of gashmias, has to happen on the physical level, uba eifan shashayach b'zashin, it can possibly be changed. So, this is the third point. The third point is that by connecting Mashiach to a mitzvah, we add that not only is Mashiach a davar nitzchi, because it's in Torah, which is kadma la'elam, but it has to come physically, it has to happen physically, otherwise it brings into question the veracity, the validity of Torah. So here, this entire section 6 is one sikha, it's chelek lamed dalet. What does it say in that sikha? In that sikha, it says that there's an eternity to Nevuah, there's an eternity to Torah, there's an eternity to Mitzvah Satorah, and the Rambam brings three proofs to represent these three different types of eternity. The eternity of Nevuah is Milah, that's very personal to you. The eternity of Torah is Milah, that it doesn't change. And the eternity of Mitzvah Sheva Torah is Milah, that it comes out of the physical act. This is section 6, okay? Which is very geschmack, and I guess on some level it's a parenthesis. In other words, we've been learning a series of sections that's developed the concept of Mashiach. Mashiach as a king, Mashiach as a frumerid, Mashiach as a influence on Yidden, Mashiach as a influence on Goyim, and all these things. This section simply shows in about the Rambam, that the Rambam tries to qualify Mashiach both on all three levels, which are into the Torah, the Vuah, Torah, and Mitzvahs. Okay, now your question. Bela, your question reads, is the reward to the person on a different level as well? I'm not sure I understand the question. If you would be so kind to write a few more words to qualify, to clarify what you're asking, that would help me a lot. I suppose you're saying that listening to the Nevuah, does it get more merit for us? I'm going to be honest. I never saw an answer to that question. I never saw in Torah or in Chassidus a discussion about the difference of the schar of listening to a Novi or the schar of listening directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I can't answer it. I certainly cannot invent it. But I understand the spirit of the question. And of course, the answer, if I had to guess, would be, in the confines of the world, yes. Outside the confines of the world, no. In other words, in as much as we're people living in the world in real time, the reward for doing what the Navi says should be greater than the reward for Torah. But in terms of our eternity, that we have nothing to do with time and space, and that we live forever, it makes no difference, because Torah is above time and time and space, as are we. So I'm not answering your question, but I'm giving you food for thought. Now, Mrs. Loshev, what does Torah Chadosha taught by Mashiach mean as Torah Davka? Torah Chadosha is Chochmah. Torah Chadosha does not have any new mitzvahs. There's no such thing as new mitzvahs. Mitzvahs were given to us in the 40 years in the Midbar. There will be no more mitzvahs. Torah Chadosha cannot come up with new instructions about what to do. Torah Chadosha can reveal how in the Torah HaYeshana there may be new instructions that we didn't notice. In other words, Torah Chadosha can say, you didn't understand the Torah correctly. If you'll understand the Torah correctly, you'll understand that Shitas HaShayra Barai Deisan Pidi HaLev Yosan is kosher, for example. So something which we thought was not kosher will become kosher. Something we thought was kosher will become unkosher. A Chazir, which was treif until Mashiach comes, is going to become kosher after Mashiach comes. But it's not new mitzvahs. It's simply new interpretation. So Torah Chadosha has many facets, but Torah Chadosha is Torah. It's part of the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which precedes the world, which is revealed to us on a higher level, and doesn't give us any new mitzvahs. It simply helps to understand the mitzvahs we already have in a new way. I hope that answers your question. If it doesn't, tell me. Okay. Section 7 is blank. The reason it's blank is because I left it for Perek Yud Beis, for the second half of this series, which begins with number 10, which is everything until number 9 is Perek Tes and Rambam, is Perek Yud Aleph and Rambam, and everything from number 10 is Perek Yud Beis and Rambam, Hilchos Melachim or Mechametz or Melech HaMashiach. But I wanted to mention here that I'm going to mention it later, and that is the question about miracles. Mashiach coming naturally, Mashiach coming supernaturally. We know that according to Halacha, not only does Mashiach not have to do miracles, you're not allowed to say that he needs to do miracles. Saying that Mashiach needs to do miracles is considered kfira, because it's you're changing the Teira. The Teira does not require a melech to be a miracle worker. The Teira does not require a melech to be a Navi. The Teira requires a melech to be a good Jew, period, and to have an influence on Yidden, and an influence on Goyim, and influence on the whole world, period. So therefore, halachically, in order for Mashiach to be Mashiach, within the parameters of Torah, which is basically Melech, he need not perform any miracles. But there are many prophecies, including in Chumash, like in the beginning of Pashas Bechukeisei, Vishvati Chayiram in Ha'aretz, that indicate that the coming of Mashiach is going to happen in a miraculous way. So, there's the question, will the coming of Mashiach be associated with miracles, or the coming of Mashiach happen in a natural way? And the Rambam, both in Perek Yud Aleph, chapter 11, and in chapter 12, which we're going to be getting to a mitzvah later, insinuates, he leads you to believe, he allows you to understand that the Mashiach comes naturally. The Rebbe in his talks brings a letter from the Rambam himself, which we're going to get to later also, where the Rambam himself writes, "Ein divarim elu, ein diboreinu ze hechleiti." The Rambam himself admits that he's not sure how Mashiach is going to come, whether Mashiach is going to become naturally or supernaturally. Why? Because how Mashiach comes cannot be predicted. Whether Mashiach comes with derech ateva, Mashiach comes with derech nes, depends on our preparedness, which is what I wrote in the title of section 7. If you look at on the screen, Mashiach has a time, and Mashiach can be hastened. So the Gemara asks the question, does Mashiach come when a certain time is achieved? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev V'Sakeitz Lases? Or can Mashiach be brought quicker? And the Gemara answers, it depends on Zachu and Lei Zachu. If we deserve Mashiach, we can bring him quicker. If we don't deserve him, he comes at a fixed time. This idea of Be'ita and Achishana ties into this question of whether Mashiach happens naturally or supernaturally. We will get to this when we get to number 10. Okay? Now I have 9 minutes left. So I want to introduce Section 8. Section 8 doesn't have to take that much time, but I don't want to rush it. So I'm going to start, and we'll see how it goes, whether I actually read it or I don't read it, and so on. Section 8 is a very simple thing. Things that happen before Mashiach comes that brings about the coming of Mashiach. That's the spirit of it. Some, it says here unpleasant events, but they don't have to be unpleasant. They have to just be events that bring the world closer to Mashiach before Mashiach. This is an interesting idea. And this is based, of course, on the Rambam, but it's also based very much on the Siris of the Rebbe about Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Okay? So this is what we're now exploring. Things that happen before Mashiach comes that set the stage for the coming of Mashiach. Now I must say one thing before I get to the readings. And that is that the Rambam holds that you're not allowed to sit and calculate how Mashiach comes. The Rambam in Perikud Beis, and again we'll get to that later on as well, says, you know, we will not know how these things happen until they happen in fact. And of course the Rebbe explains, why does the Rambam say we will not know how these things happen until they happen in fact? Because it's up to us. Rambam cannot predict the future because the future is determined by the people who live then. If it's deserved, Zachu and Lai Zachu, Mashiach comes in different ways. And therefore the Rambam says it's foolish and redundant and unnecessary and a waste of time, Dibri Agoda, for a person to involve himself in trying to figure out the steps and the stages for the coming of Mashiach, because they're undetermined. They're not certain. It depends on us. So how Mashiach comes is none of our business. The process, in other words. And I just want to mention that Rav Sadia Gaon, who obviously, at least I think obviously, disagrees with the Rambam, tells the story of how Mashiach is going to come in his Sefer Emunas V'Deis like it happened already. He pushes it, goes through all the Tanakh, and he brings all the Psukim and tells you the whole Seder of Mashiach, Ben Yosef and Mashiach, Ben David, and the death of Mashiach, Ben Yosef. He tells it to you like it's a story that's already occurred. In other words, the Rav Sadia Gaon disagrees with the Rambam and literally provides a timeline to the future of how Mashiach is going to come. The Rambam says, don't do it, waste of time, you can't know it, and it's nonsense. Okay, that's Rambam's position. So, Rambam holds there's absolutely no point in trying to figure out the steps and the stages of the arrival of Mashiach. So how did we manage to piece together a number 8, which is saying things that happen before Mashiach comes? And there's two answers to the question. The first answer is Aleph, and the second answer is Beis Gimel Aleph and Hey. Aleph is things that have already occurred. The Rambam says, we don't figure out how Mashiach is going to come, but we can figure out regarding events that have already happened in the world, how they bring the world closer to Mashiach. And Beis Gimel Dalet and Hey is not about things that have happened. Nevertheless, the Rambam is bringing them because it's a halacha. It's the idea of the teaching, the goyim, the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. So let's do Aleph. Okay, so listen to how I am teaching you section 8. I'm teaching section 8 that Aleph is separate and then Beis Gimel Dalet and Hey are separate. How so? Aleph is the Rambam telling us things that happened before Mashiach because they've already happened. And therefore, Rambam is comfortable telling them to us, even though the Rambam says we don't know how it's going to happen, because in this case, we know it's already occurred. Beis Gimel Dalet and Hey, Rambam brings, even though they haven't happened yet, because they're a din. They're a requirement on Yidden, as we'll get to later. Let's do Aleph. This Aleph is obscure. It's not very widely known, because in many Rambams, it was taken out because of censorship. In the more recent prints of Rambam, like the Frankel Rambam, the Rambam La'am, and others, the newer Rambams put them back in because we no longer have a censorship. But this is what the Rambam says. Aleph. This is Hilchas Melachim, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Dalet. Machshavei Zberi Ha'elam. The thought processes of the Creator, the Eibishter, And keach ba'adam la'asigam, it's impossible for the human mind to intellectually reach them and to know them till the end. Ki lo'ei drachein drachav, the way he does things, the way he plans things, the way he anticipates things are different than we could possibly fathom. And therefore, to understand the processes of life, and to use a Hasidic insertion, particularly as you go through a period of Helam Hesed of Golos, is impossible. You can't understand what the Eibishter does. But when you look back in hindsight, some of what the Eibishter does begins to emerge in a way that we can understand it. For example, V'chol advarim elu, all of these things and stories, L'Yeshua HaNetzi, which is basically Yoshkia, who is the name associated with the Christian religion, even though he probably is turning over in whatever grave he's living in, he never meant to create a new religion. As well as this Arab that followed him, meaning Muhammad, who certainly planned to create a new religion. And of course, how many Jews were killed because of Christianity? How many Jews were killed and are killed because of Islam? It's impossible to measure. How much destruction, how much violence, how much war has come to this earth because of them? And by the way, plenty of tzaddis came from the pagans as well. You don't have to be a Christian or a Muslim to kill people. You know, the 12th century, the 13th century, they came from the east, and they were all pagans and destroyed the world and so on. So every religion and all people basically can bring on death. But why did the Eibishter create a Christian religion and a Muslim religion, which caused so much tzaddis? Says the Rambam, Einon Elo L'Yasher Derech L'Melech HaMashiach. They're straightening the road for Mashiach. To bring correction to the world at large, to serve the Eibishter as one. And the Rambam explains, Keter, this means, the whole world, not just the Jewish world, but the whole world, that means Christians, Muslims, and so on, know about Mashiach because of those faiths. They also know about the Bible, and they even know about the commandments. They know about the Mashiach, and about Torah, and about mitzvahs. And above all else, what they know is about one God, monotheism, one God as opposed to the pagan, multi-theistic realities of the ancient world. Christianity and Islam have done more than anything else to be mefarshim achas Hashem, even though they're distorted. Upashtu divarim el. And these ideas, the idea of Mashiach, the idea of Torah, the idea of mitzvahs, have reached the whole world. The goyim lahavdol believe that mitzvahs are bottled, but they keep what they call the Ten Commandments. Goyim think you have to keep the Ten Commandments, not the 613 commandments, but the Ten Commandments. I once had in my home a goy who was one of the most famous Bnei Nech in the world. His name was Wendell Jones. Wendell Jones has a whole organization in Texas. We have a whole movement of Bnei Nech that they're related to the Rabbanut and Eretz Yisrael, actually. Wendell Jones met the Rebbe. He's an interesting character. And Wendell Jones said to me that there's a big debate about removing the Ten Commandments from the wall of the Congress, I think. And he said he agrees, the Ten Commandments don't belong on the wall of the Congress. The Seven Commandments belong on the walls of the Congress, because the Ten Commandments were given to Jews, and goyim are not allowed to keep Shabbos, for example. And he says the reason there's a controversy is because of the wrong list of commandments. There are seven commandments. Goyim have a concept of Mashiach, goyim have a concept of Torah, goyim have a concept of mitzvahs, even if they're distorted, because of Christianity and Islam. And then he continues and he says, Elu Eimrim ve'elu Eimrim, some people say this and some people say this. In other words, some people say Mashiach's already come, some people say we don't have to do mitzvahs anymore, all kinds of mistakes. U'kshiyamed ha-melech ha-mashiach ve'emes, when Mashiach comes in truth, ve'yatzliach, and he will succeed, ve'yarem ve'yinasle, he will be exalted and uplifted. So all the goyim who have distorted ideas of Mashiach, Torah and mitzvahs, as the Rambam said two lines before, Meyadim kulam chayiv, they all do tshuva, v'yedim, and they will know she'sheker nachalu aviseyim, that their ancestors gave them a tradition that's a lie, v'aviseyim hitum, and their parents misled them, and they'll return to the truth. So the Rebbe says, the Rambam says, Mashiach comes, and the world's readiness, that means goyim's readiness, to receive Mashiach, which is the belief in one God and the practice of one set of Torah mitzvahs and one Beis HaMikdash and one Kohen Gadol and one Kodesh HaKadoshim for all nations, is predicated in the 2,000 years of these Goyish faiths, of Christianity and Islam. I have a nephew who is a shliach in Cambodia. And he was trying to explain to me what it means in a Avodah Zarah culture. He was trying to explain to me how far away they are, not just from doing what we do, but and believing what we do, but just thinking like we think. When you live in a Christian or Muslim country, you don't realize how much these goyim have been affected and changed by the Torah. So the Rambam says, even though how Mashiach comes is none of our business, but there are certain things that we see, because they've occurred already, which we can clearly interpret, that say, look, we see so much blood, we see so much tzaddis. I mean, who's caused the Jewish people more tzaddis? But there's a silver lining to this cloud, which is, in the words of the Rambam, we can't understand the ways of God. Namely, that through these distortions, goyim come closer to the idea of Mashiach. So this is Aleph. Number Aleph of section 8 says that even though how Mashiach comes, now is not our business, but it's impossible to know, but what's happened we already know. Numbers Beis, Gimel, Dal, Din, Hey, Aleph, and next time, Mitzrayim. And what they talk about is what we need to do before Mashiach comes to bring Mashiach. And this, of course, is the combination of the Rambam and the Rebbe Sichis about the idea of Shevem Mitzvah Neneach being a requirement on Yid, not just a suggestion, particularly now, because we're holding all the times of the Geula. Now, let me read your question. Now, isn't that what the Rebbe refers to? That Efenin the Eugen. I don't understand the question. Oh, in other words, what's the relationship between Medaf Efen and the Eugen and what I said about not knowing the past of the coming of Mashiach? Rambam is saying halacha, and the Rebbe is saying nevua, really. The Rambam lived a long time ago, and the Rambam is saying the dinim associated with Mashiach. The dinim associated with Mashiach don't involve predicting the future about Mashiach's coming. The Rebbe is not predicting the future of how Mashiach is coming. The Rebbe is telling us what's happening actually. In other words, you could compare the Rebbe saying, opening up your eyes, to the Rambam referencing Christianity and Islam as precursors to the coming of Mashiach. He's not telling us what's going to be. He's telling us what is already. When the Rebbe says, open your eyes, he's not saying, open up your eyes and see what's going to happen tomorrow. He's saying, open up your eyes and see what's happening now. I hope that answers your question. If anybody wants to make any comments, please go ahead. Otherwise, we'll call it a class. Kol tov. I'll see you in a week, Mr. Shem.